Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We have come to a point in our lives that there have been so many wrestling promotions, a few dudes roaming the circuit have actually appeared in all the major ones. When I say major ones, I know I've missed some out, but we've got to draw a line somewhere, otherwise I'll be talking to you till the cows come home, and I don't even know what that means. Boo. Come to the record books, and I have found 10 people that have indeed appeared for WWE, AEW, WCW, and TNA/Impact, and I know there will be others. I know I will have forgotten about some, but that's what the comments are for, so you can have a jolly good time. So yeah, here's 10 wrestlers that did all that shit I just said. Number 10, Jerry Lynn. Jerry Lynn is just one of those guys that was way ahead of his time. His style has had a massive influence on modern wrestling, even if you go all the way back to 1995, when he was competing for WCW as Jerry Lynn. Sometimes he'd also have wrestling matches under a mask and call himself Mr. JL. Oh, how are we going to figure that one out? He made an even bigger splash when he went to ECW in 1997, and if you've never seen a Jerry Lynn match and you want to start somewhere, go and watch nearly anything that he did with Rob Van Dam. It will blow your mind, and he even won the World Championship from Just Incredible. He eventually moved to WWE in 2001, although quite sadly, he was just used as a developmental talent, although saying that, he did have a run with the Light Heavyweight Championship, but this got so much better when he left the Fed and went to TNA and kept on having good matches. He was there till 2007 when he left and went to Ring of Honor, and he had even more great wrestling contests against Nigel McGuinness and against someone known as Tyler Black. I wonder what happened to him. Just to wrap it up today, Jerry works as a producer and a coach for AEW. So not only did he tick all these boxes, but he even got in there with ROH. Number 9, Jake Roberts. Jake Roberts is so good on the microphone and has such a good grasp of wrestling psychology. It has been said time and time again, that's why he never needed a world championship belt, because it wouldn't do anything for him. He could connect with the audience already. He debuted for the WWF in 1986 when he changed the game by basically inventing the DDT and had loads of good feuds there, especially that one with the Macho Man. That's my personal favorite. He then fell out with Vince McMahon in 1992. And what did he do in the early 90s when you got bored of one wrestling promotion? You went to the other one, known as WCW. While that kind of started okay, it basically ended with him facing Sting in a coal miner's glove match. I couldn't even say it. Never watch it. It sucks. Roberts then bounced around the indies for a while before he did get a call to join ECW in 1997. And of course, he found his way to TNA in 2006 and 2008. During that time, he was also used in a wrestling wedding angle because wrestling just can't get enough of them. And of course, right now in 2019/2020, he is a manager in All Elite Wrestling. And I bet if you had told him in the late 80s this was what he was going to be doing now, he wouldn't have believed you. And neither would his snake. Number 8, Taz. Another guy that was ahead of his time, Taz was acting like a tough MMA guy before anybody even knew what UFC was. It turned him into a major player in ECW, where he debuted in 1993, but also in 1993 as the Taz Maniac, he had a dark match in World Championship Wrestling, and damn it, it counts. Obviously, that was nothing compared to what he did under the watchful eye of Paul Heyman, and that has got to be the greatest run of his career. People genuinely feared Taz, and even those in the audience were like, does he know wrestling's like a work, or is he going to kill us all? It's why he made a huge splash when it was announced that he was jumping to WWE in 2000. And while that started okay, we all know the story here, there was just some sort of disconnect, and eventually was feuding with Jerry the King Lawler. He then transitioned across to commentary, which nobody saw, but really it extended his career by a long ass time. It's also why he was able to leave and join TNA in 2009 as an announcer, and he just got better and better still, and he was with that company till 2015. Then after hosting his own radio show for a while, he too had a message from AEW saying, hey, why don't you come in and have some fun? And now he is managing Ricky Starks and he is managing Brian Cage. Once again, done it all. 7, Tully Blanchard. Tully Blanchard was a member of the flipping Four Horsemen. What else do I need to say? And he probably would have stayed in the NWA if he hadn't had a big disagreement about pay, but that was good for us because him and tag team partner Arn Anderson then went to the WWF tick, 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 and they became the Brainbusters. He had his WCW moment when he wrestled Terry Funk at 1994 Slamboree, and a year later, he did the same in ECW, although there he was going after Shane Douglas. Tully then retired in 2007. Because his daughter Tessa got into the business and she went to Impact slash TNA slash whatever you want to call it and did quite well, it meant that in 2019 you saw him on an Impact television broadcast. It was like, oh daughter, I'm so proud of you. Once again, it counts. That same year, he also signed for AEW, and let's face it, he is a major part of that show, especially because now he's managing FTR, a tag team based on the tag teams he made famous. 6, Billy Gunn. 35 years Billy Gunn has been wrestling now. 35 years. And he's had a bunch of names over those three decades, including one that was Mr. S. He was a pro bull rider before he decided that he wanted to get into professional wrestling. And although he started out in WCW, there it is. He got his big break in the WWF in 1996. And after some stupid gimmicks like Rockabilly, teamed up with the Road Dogg Jesse James to become the New Age Outlaws, one of the most popular tag teams in history. And yeah, it didn't really work out as a singles guy, but he still held the tag team belts for 11 times, which is no bad thing. And when he was done there, he went over to TNA, where he did a lot of weird stuff. In fact, don't even look it up, it's not worth it, before heading back to WWE as a coach, and then finally into AEW in 2019. And he's still wrestling now. You can see him on Dark all the time. 5, Christopher Daniels. What hasn't my brother, Christopher Daniels, done? I mean, at one point, he was known as King of the Indies because he would be having these matches here, there, and everywhere to rave reviews, but not one major promotion ever picked him up and did anything significant with him, which is I think he's still vastly underrated. While he made his debut in 1993, he finally signed a developmental deal with the WWF in 1996, and don't think this was just a, oh, we'll see what's going to happen thing either. At one point, Christopher Daniels was going to be the higher power, you know, the leader of the Ministry of Darkness, before Vince McMahon saw him and went, he's too small. I guess we put, I'll do it instead. Ridiculous. He showed up on ECW in 1999 and had a tryout match in WCW in 2000, and they quite liked him and brought him up, and he was going to be known as Syndrome and have some kind of relationship with Vampiro. But this was World Championship Wrestling in 2000, and surprise, surprise, didn't go anywhere. He was soon in Ring of Honor, where he made a major name for himself, and I'm pretty sure you could just pick any Christopher Daniels ROH match and you'll have a good time. And then he established himself even more by going into TNA and just tearing the place up with AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. Go and watch their triple threat matches. Unreal. Daniels then joined AEW in 2019, not only as a wrestler, but also as head of talent relations. And what a guy to have under your roof. Although don't tell Lance Archer there's a roof, he'll throw you through it. Before Dustin Rhodes. I know I always say this, but I feel like I have to. Dustin Rhodes is 50 years old. I'm not saying that as a knock. I'm saying it because when you watch him move around the ring, it's like he's 25. It just ruins science. It doesn't make sense. He made his debut for WCW all the way back in 1988 before he left the promotion around about the same time as his dad, Dusty Rhodes, which makes all the sense in the world. Those two then went to WWF, where they even were a tag team, and that was fun, before Dustin returned to WCW in 1991 and became the United States Champion. Dustin was let go in 1995 after blading at the Uncensored pay-per-view, and don't let the irony of that sentence go over your head. And of course, then he went back to WWF when he became Goldust, one of the most controversial and these days most talked about characters ever. He then found his way back to World Championship Wrestling in 1999, where he was given a character of 7, which was just shocking if we're honest, and had to be stopped because standards and practices said, are you pretending to be a child abductor? Surprise, surprise, that got killed. It was then back to WWE in 2002, and it was this run when he had that crazy tag team with Booker T, and then he went to TNA in 2004. I'm just gonna stop here, because Dustin Rhodes really does just ping about the place, and you get the idea. He left the WWE in 2019 to join his brother in All Elite Wrestling, and as I've already said, just proved that they made a major mistake because not only does he have all this knowledge he can impart on other people, he can still go when the bell goes ding. Number three, Tony Schiavone. In the 90s, if you were a wrestling fan, two things were obvious. The voice of the WWF was Jim Ross, and the voice of WCW was the one and only Tony Schiavone. Breaking in under Jim Crockett Promotions, Tony Schiavone was actually in the World Wrestling Federation in 1989, and you can hear his voice at that year's Survivor Series. World Championship Wrestling on then offered him a bunch of cash, so he made the jump, although he has gone on record and says, "I regret this, I never should have done it." But given that he was the voice of Nitro, I mean, he was there from 1995 all the way until it died in 2001, I think he did all right for himself. WWE didn't want to pick up his contract back then, so Tony went and did some baseball commentating, although he did have an appearance in TNA when he was having a good time with his friend Mike Tenay. Things then went mad in 2019, because not only was he offered a contract by All Elite Wrestling, but WWE also came back sniffing around, and as Schiavone himself has said, he believes that Vince McMahon's company was only doing that to keep him from the competition, but his mind and his heart was made up. He went there, and once again, he's one of the voices of wrestling in the modern day. Number two, Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho is a wrestling hero, just reinventing himself time and time again. You could make the argument that right now, he is better than ever, and on the down low, I kind of think it. After making a name for himself on the indie scene, he made his first major splash in 1995 when he joined ECW, and there he was just having crazy feuds against the likes of Sabu, Rob Van Dam, and even Mick Foley's Cactus Jack. He threw himself across to WCW in 1996, and didn't he do a damn good job there? Everybody was talking about Chris Jericho then, the heel that you love to hate, and it blows my mind that World Championship Wrestling Management didn't do more with him. In fact, they actively held him down, so in 1999, he made a huge debut on Monday Night Raw and the WWF. If you are now trying to rack your brain trying to figure out when the hell was Chris Jericho on TNA, well, he kind of was, but he also kind of wasn't. But in 2006, they had something featured with Fozzy. Once again, I've said it once, I've said it twice, I'll say it thrice. It counts. Chris even found a way to go to New Japan, and after he was on this new lease of wrestling life, he went across to All Elite Wrestling, where you could say he is their most important player. In fact, you shouldn't not just could say that, you 100% should say that. He was a game changer. Number one, DDP. What a damn legend DDP is. No matter what age you are, all you need to know is that Diamond Dallas Page didn't start training to be a wrestler until he was 35 years old and he became the WCW champion. Sure, he was already a manager, but come on. This all happened in the 90s through sheer determination and the love of the fans. And when WCW was bought out in 2001, he said to WWE, "I ain't waiting around. I want to be brought in right now." So he did debut. Unfortunately, it was that stupid stalker character that kind of ruined his WWE career. He had a year in 2004 with TNA until he left wrestling altogether to try and fix his back. Then he just stumbled across the now global phenomenon known as DDP Yoga, and everyone thought, oh, I guess he's done with this squared circle, until of course he got a call from Cody Rhodes, and we've seen him a lot in All Elite Wrestling. And I tell you this, I love it every time. Just think DDP is great.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.